I told you a few weeks ago, I was going to preach a message, and I'm preaching it this morning. And I'm preaching a message that's called, What to Do If You Miss the Rapture. We go to church with many people. Many people sit in our congregation week after week, day after day, service after service. But let me encourage you this morning, not everybody that you go to church with is right with God. I'm not being negative this morning. Listen, this is not coming from a negative tone of voice this morning. There's nobody who's a proponent about the blessings of God more than I am. There is nobody that loves restoration more than I am. There's nobody that loves to see people and second chances and God take people who have messed up and restored their life and give them a new song and give them a new life, restore their marriage, their homes, their life, and give them back a second. Nobody loves that more than I do. And I'm telling you, there's no greater power than the power of restoration that comes on a life. God is a God. Listen, the spirit of the gospel is never to expose. The spirit of the gospel is always to restore. I'm telling you, these preachers that have these missions of going around, hunting down their congregation, exposing everything in their life, throwing it out in front of the congregation to make a spectacle so that they can prove themselves as being more holy than those people they preach to. I'm telling you, God's going to judge that one day. If the Holy Spirit can't get to you, what makes you think I can? If the Holy Ghost can't draw you to repentance, why in the world would people think that I could? And so I just get up here on Sunday morning and I'm just going to release the hound of heaven on you. And I'm going to pray the Holy Ghost deals with you until you get it right. But we live in an hour. I went to a church one time and I got there and they were bragging about how they had found a young couple in their church in adultery. And how that the young girl had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And they brought that couple down to the front of the church. And they made them apologize to the church in front of everybody. Made a spectacle out of that. And I want to tell you, they did that and I sat there and I knew the leaders of that church. I knew the people that sat in that congregation. And many of them that were sitting out there were no different and had made no different mistakes than the people that they had brought up before them. It grieved my spirit when I heard it. It broke my heart to think that we have the right to throw people up and cast a judgment on their life when we have no idea where they've been and what they've gone through. Right? But we're living an hour when we love to expose, we love to investigate, we love to get the dirt. Right? Because it makes good gossip, it makes good news in people's lives. We love that. We relish in that. I want to tell you, that young girl never came back to church. And as far as I know, she's not living for God today. And I want to tell you, when Jesus comes back and those people stand before God, I guarantee you before ever they ever get to heaven, that'll be dealt with. It'll be dealt with. And I want to tell you, if she never comes to Christ or never turns her heart back to God, I want to tell you, she's responsible for her own life. But I want to tell you this, I'd hate to be the man that stands before God and have to give an account because people have chosen not to live for God because of the things that I have done. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing in this hour. I'm not mad this morning, but I'm intense. I'm intense. The Bible tells us this. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We've read it many times, but I'm going to read it again. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 15. Well, let's just back up to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow and others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him to those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, and we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a great promise in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 5, 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God." It's a great promise for the church this morning. But can I tell you that as sure as the rapture, as sure as the coming of the Lord is, you know how sure I am? I'm as sure as my salvation this morning. That the Lord is coming back. And I want to tell you this morning. If it not be true, then we all have been deceived. Then Jesus has deceived us all, and he's pulled over the greatest hat trick and deception that has ever been known to mankind. But I'm telling you this morning, you may be able to argue with me on whether or not how he grows and this and that and semantics about it all. There may be questions I can't answer or maybe things I don't know. But one thing, and this thing I do know. I do know this. I do know that I was lost and God touched me. I knew where I was and I know where I am. I know what I used to be and I know what he's made me. You can't argue with that this morning, because a changed man is completely different than a man that just has an argument this morning. And so, when I read this verse of Scripture, most of us sitting here this morning, we're born again, we're redeemed. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. But there may be some of you this morning who may be sitting here who we all may have mistaken and thought who were saved, who we love, but we never really asked whether or not they were born again. They're just good people. And they're just good people that we live with every day. Maybe there's someone here this morning whom we thought who had practiced, who had came and been around us. But the truth is that they've never had a true conversion in Christ. And the truth is, this morning there is going to be a rapture of the church. And there is going to be a catching away. The good news about that for us is that we will be caught away from him. The bad news is that there will be those who will be left behind. And that being said, Friday night in revival meeting, Pastor David Jones from Barnsley, England, was preaching. He's had an incredible revelation of the bride. This is what he said. It blew my mind when he said it. He said, "We're living in an hour when it's the job of the enemy to distort the view of the church." And here's how he's doing it in two ways. Number one, if the enemy can deceive the church. See, the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. We are his church. We are his bride. And so, no other way than bring confusion about that than to deceive men about what true marriage is and what it means to be a bride. So what the enemy has done, he's attacked traditional marriage in our culture. And he's made us to believe that listen, here's the goal. The goal for the enemy is to wipe out marriage altogether. You think I'm kidding? If the enemy could get us to believe that marriage is not between one man and one woman, and that it's not divine, and that it's not been divine or created divine by God, then we can make it whatever we want it to be. You think I'm kidding? Just go to California. I've seen laws that are trying to get passed where they're trying to do quad marriages now, where they have two couples that are trying to marry each other and become one family, where they have one person trying to marry two other people of an opposite sex, where they have complete families trying to blend themselves together and call themselves men. Listen, when you begin to remove truth, then you've opened the door and anything goes, and there's no restraint on it all. And that's what's beginning to happen in our culture. Because if the enemy can get this next generation to not believe there's such thing as a marriage and such thing as a marriage between one man and one woman, then he can tell you that you're not the bride of Christ, and he can distort who you are in Christ. And the image of the church has suffered because we do not know who we are. We do not understand that principle of the bride of Christ. It is all through Scripture. All through Scripture is woven into the book and the Bible. representing that relationship between the bride and the bridegroom. It is all through Scripture. And so the enemy is trying to distort that. And so we've come in here this morning, and there are three audiences that are going to hear my voice this morning. The first audience that's going to hear my voice this morning is you who are present here on this day, April 19, 2015, who are present in this building this morning. The second audience will be those who will be listening by the radio when this message goes out on WYGS next week, and when this message goes out on Wiki on 95.3, that'll be the second audience that hears this message. They'll be driving in their car. They'll be at home listening. They'll think that they're turning on the radio, they hear country music, and all of a sudden my crazy voice comes over the radio. And they're like, who is this fool on the radio? The third will be those, that you take this tape and you give this tape to. And here's the people that I want you to buy and give this tape to. I want you to give this tape to the people in your home and family that are lost and without God. And this is what I want you to tell them. Say, I want you to listen to it. And after you listen to it, I want you to hang on to it. If you don't make a decision for Christ, that's up to you. I want you to know I love you. My church is praying for you, and we are praying for you. But if somehow the rapture of the church happens before you die, take this CD, put this CD in, and begin to listen to it. Because Pastor is giving you instruction on what you need to do if you miss the rapture. And so the third audience that's listening to me this morning, maybe somebody that is sitting at home and has just put this CD in. And they've just looked on the news and they've heard that millions of people have vanished out of the air just like that. And they remembered grandma gave them a CD. They remembered that somebody had given them this. Chaos is everywhere. They do not know what to do. They do not know where to go. They do not know how to respond. There's chaos. There's all kinds of implication. And all of a sudden their life is beginning to turn and the world is changing and they're wondering what in the world has happened here at this moment. They're going about their daily life. The first time that they listen to this message, they may flippantly throw it to a side. And they may make comments like, I don't need to be preached to. I don't need to hear this. I have no interest in God and go about their daily life. But I'm telling you, this CD will have more value to them on the day the church is taken out of here than what you may know. And so they come to the place, the church has come. You've gone about your daily life and you've tried to make it without God. Those of you that are listening by radio this morning and by CD, the church maybe has turned you off. Maybe church life's turned you off. Maybe church people have turned you off. Maybe pastors have disappointed you and church leaders have disappointed you. Maybe the structure of the church has been a disappointment to you. And you've not gotten into church because you can't get past the fact that you've seen people do things that are non-Christian, who are supposed to be Christian, and has kept you out of the house of God. But it doesn't change the reality that God is real, that He loves His church, that it's truth. He's still coming back for His people. And now you are sitting there listening to this CD, and the reality is, as the people whom you knew were imperfect now have been caught up with the Lord, and they're gone, and it's just you. The thing is that because of procrastination, people say, well, someday. Well, that's just old people's believing. In other words, you haven't fully opened up. You've fully opened yourself up to the deception, and you're enjoying the pleasures of the indulgence of sin in your life. Not to know that there is a consequence to come with an undisciplined life that you are living out of the flesh. Then there are those who will put this CD in, and you're sitting in a place, this moment of obscurity. Maybe with someone who's remaining in your family. Maybe there's disbelief that this has come. You're in shock that what has been preached is real. It's almost like there's a numbness that this has happened. A reality that you never thought would take place. You thought that it was only in movies. You thought that it was something that Steven Spielberg would put up. But now you find yourself living right in the middle of it, right in the reality of it. It is happening. Maybe your wife is gone. Maybe your loved ones who you knew were Christians are gone. And now you're sitting in this place of obscurity. You're shocked. You have questions. There's a lump in your throat. There's a feeling in your stomach. And there's these questions. You have one eye on the television set. And you have one eye on your loved ones, wondering what in the world is taking place. You can feel the tension. You can feel what's happening. And all that you can do is begin to rehearse in your mind all of those times that you were warned and told that this would happen. That this would happen, that the church would be. And all of a sudden you realize, who am I going to go to? Who am I going to talk to? Who can I seek for advice? Who can I trust? There's a state of confusion that's going on all around you. You see it. You feel it. Rationalization. There's pandemonium, which means demon rule has broke out. Think about that for just a moment. Think about the scene that should be taking place on the face of the earth at this time. But listen to the instruction that I'm about to give you this morning and hold on to it. I'm not sure how much of it will help you this morning, but it's your only shot for salvation. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't know if it will help you, but all I do know, it's your only shot. And it can't hurt as I encourage you to try to do. It's a horrible road to walk. It's going to be a horrible road to walk. The truth is, my personal opinion this morning, and as you listen to this, it's going to experience salvation. My belief personally, if you're going to experience salvation from this point on, that the only way that you'll be able to experience that salvation most likely will have to be through a martyr's death. I do not know. Some believe and teach, and I'll show you in just a moment, that once the age of grace is finished and the church is out of here, that man has lost every opportunity to receive Christ. Most men believe that. I do know that during the tribulation period, when the church is gone, there will be salvation. We know there will be a harvest in Revelation 7. We do know there will be a harvest. There will be a great harvest of the Jews. I do not know whether or not those who are left behind, I'll put it out there and I'll let you form an opinion for yourself. I personally believe that God is a God of grace. And in every dispensation from the beginning of time, God has always made a way out for man and has always given men an opportunity to be redeemed to Him. God is a God of mercy. He chooses to be a God of mercy. He wants to be a God of mercy. And He's always loved man and humanity. It's not God's will that men should die and perish without Christ. That is not God's will. And I don't know who will go into when this church is out of here. I don't know what your destination is. I do know this, that in every dispensation, God has made a way, and there must be a way. And if there is, if I was you, I would find it, seek it, and apply it to my life. But it will not be easy. Ha ha ha. And it will not be easy. There'll be those that as I said, will be saved in tribulation. We know that. But let's just be honest this morning. If you weren't willing to live for Him when it didn't cost you anything, only but your commitment, and you had the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you here now, I'm not too sure you're going to make much of a commitment for Him then. Because if you can't live for Him now, I don't know how in the world all of a sudden you're going to all of a sudden have the guts and the boldness to die for him then. If you reject him now, when we have the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, our guide, our strength, how is it that you'll make it then when the Holy Spirit is taken from the earth and it's just you and nothing else? More than likely, every event and circumstance, either the circumstances will get to you and you'll die, or you'll become and die a martyr's death. So those that are here today and those who are listening by CD, I want you to listen carefully. It's going to be a horrible road to walk, but I want to encourage you. Sir, you have just walked into the tribulation. It's a period that Moses called the day of great distress, Deuteronomy. Jeremiah called it a time of Jacob's distress. Daniel said it like this. Daniel said it'll be a time that has never been seen on the face of the earth. And I want you to know that it's going to be a period and a time like you have never known or never seen. You have not seen the destruction. You have not seen what is going to take place ever. And all the judgments on the face of the earth, all the tragedies that we have seen, all the experiences in human nature that we have seen, you will not have experienced anything like what you're about ready to walk into. You are walking now into the midst, and you have just now stepped into the period of tribulation. The church is gone and you're there. What do you do? How do you respond? What do you do? And when I began to think about that this morning, I thought to myself, man, if I could speak to those after I'm gone, that have been left behind, if there was any words of comfort I would say, sir, I apologize. I apologize that the church has not been what it should be because for some reason you've rejected Christ. And as a pastor, I apologize that I've not presented the gospel to you in a way that would change your life. I would apologize and say, I'm sorry, the church has not been the church that we're supposed to be. You know, Ephesians says this. Ephesians says that a bride adorns the glory of her husband. Right? And what it means is this. It means that we are a reflection of God's glory to the world. We are the agent that God uses to reach the world. We are the church. We are what He uses to reach mankind this morning. And we are to be a reflection of His glory, of His grace, of His mercy, of everything that means anything to God. We are to reflect that. But I'm not too sure we as a church has done a good job of loving the world like it should be loved. And there'll be those who go into the tribulation that the church has hurt, that has disregarded, that we've left behind, that we've failed to reach, that we've failed to try to reach. That's why I say to you this morning, it's more than just those that are hearing this message that are without God that need to hear it. You need to hear it this morning. Because we need to move from these air-conditioned seats and from our padded pews and move out into a city and a world that needs God. And we've got to have an impact on this city. Because it's more than pizza parties, game nights, banana pudding, praise God, and all that's good, and hamburgers and cheeseburgers, and getting together, all those things are good. We're to do that. The scripture instructs us to. But if that's all we do, somebody's going to go into the tribulation period and has missed out because maybe it's somebody we could have reached had we activated a more desire to touch this world than what we have now. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Are you with me or against me? So what do you need to do? Hang with me this morning, would you? I've got to preach this. So just hang with me this morning. Y'all feel the spirit of conviction that has dropped into this room? That won't be there. That will not be there in the tribulation. That'll be gone. Some of you are sitting there, and these words comfort you. Why? Because you're right with God. That won't be there in the tribulation. So what are you to do? Young man, young woman, you're listening to me right now by CD, and 500,000 people have been taken, or millions of people have been left this world, and you're listening to this morning. Here's the first thing that you need to do. Number one, do not run to the church, because the true church is no longer there. There will be those that will prop themselves up and claim to speak for God. They'll have degrees. They'll have scripture. They'll know the word. They'll explain away what's happened. They'll say things like this: the people that were taken out of here were taken out of here because of the judgment of God. They were taken out because they were extreme. They were taken out because they were over the top in their Christianity. They were taken out because they weren't tolerant. They were taken out because they refused to fall to the unity of the country, of the nations. They refused to bow down. They refused. They were strict. They would not leave the context of the word. They would not accept any revelation outside of the word. They were just Bible believers. They wouldn't believe any other books that were written. Right? So it was the judgment of God that took them out. They were removed, so now the world can have unity. Now that the church, the Christianity, those who are radical are gone, now we can have unity. They're gone. Now we can have same-sex marriage. Now we can have everything we want. Now we can have religion and have our lives, and there's nothing to hinder that or to speak against that. And the reality is, they've got what they want, but they may not want what they got. The answer to your problem is not the church. You don't need to run to the church. You need to run away from the church. The church age is done. It's gone. It has ended. It has been sealed. It is not how God will work through the tribulation period. The church is gone. There's no need of the church. The Bible said, when that which is perfect has come, gifts shall cease. And what it means is, that which is perfect is the church. When the church is made perfect, the gifts of the Spirit are no longer in need. You know why? Because it's the gifts of the Spirit that edify the church, that build the church, that help direct the church, that lead the church. But if the church is gone, there's no need for the Holy Spirit. And so He is gone too. And I'm telling you, there's going to be an eeriness. It's not how God works now. The day of mercy and grace, the feeling of peace is gone. There's going to be an eeriness about the atmosphere. You will feel that things have changed. The reason is there's no longer an ability for spiritual discernment. Listen, spiritual discernment will be gone. I've walked into places and the Spirit of God has spoken to me. I don't need to be there. I can look and the Spirit of God speak to me. And I know certain things are right and wrong. Why? What's the Bible say in Corinthians? For the spirit of a man knows the Spirit of God. Those who are of the Spirit of God know spiritual things. They're able to discern them. They're able to interpret them. They're able to know them, right? But what's going to happen is there will be no spiritual discernment. You won't be able to discern right from wrong. You won't be able to discern what is evil and what is wicked. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is gone and it no longer lives in you. And so there'll be no discernment. You're going to have to live. You can't go to the church. Think about that for a moment. I want to inoculate your system this morning of this reality. The reality is that those of you that are believers, that this will inoculate you into the moving, into igniting your passion for God. And if you're an unbeliever in this place this morning, it comes to the reality that something in your life is missing. And without God, men can never see heaven. Pastor, why a message like this? Why a message like this? Why not the blessing of God? Why can't I preach on, right? Why can't I preach on God loves everybody this morning? Why? Why a message like this? Why now? Whatever got into you? I'll tell you why. Because the procrastination and apathy rule our day. Procrastination and apathy rule our day. Procrastination. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'm too busy doing. I'm too busy doing. I'm too busy working. I'm too busy this. I'm too busy that. I'll add God when I get older, when I get in my 40s, when I get in my 50s, but I'm enjoying my 20s. I'll do it when my grandmother did it, when my grandfather did it, when I get old and there ain't nothing on, there ain't nothing I can do but watch reruns and come to church. Procrastination and apathy rule our day. And it's the apathy of the church. I'm preaching this to the church just as much as I'm preaching it to those that are lost. Because the church has lost the vision and the passion to win people to Christ. Think of your family this morning. Think of your family this morning. If the rapture happened now, who in your family would not go? Call their name out in your mind. Are you hearing me this morning? I know you love them. And I'm not trying to throw fear-mongering on you. That's not what I'm saying. But we've lost our mission. We've lost why God created us and put us here on the earth. To be the glory and reflection of Him. And to lift up Jesus, that men can be drawn to Him and come to the saving, loving knowledge of a Savior who loves and cares for all of humanity. Call them by name this morning. Those that are listening by tape, dear God. Pastor, who are those that are left behind? Well, one is those who have never accepted Christ. According to Romans 10, 9 and 10. According to Romans 6, 23 and 24. Those who have never accepted Christ, those will be those who have left behind. Those who have decided not to receive Christ as their Savior. Romans 3, 23 and 24. 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Secondly, who else will be left behind? It'll be those who are religiously deceived. Those that are religiously deceived, who believe that through religion that they can obtain salvation. Right? Through works. You can't get there through works. You can't get there through transubstantiation. You can't get there by being good. You can't get there by lighting a candle. You can't get there by putting a dollar in the offering. You can't get there by, you can't work your way in. It doesn't matter how much you do, how much you build, how many mission trips you go on. It has nothing to do. You can be religious till you're blue in the face. You can light candles. You can put robes on. You can put garbs on. But unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you shall not see the redemption of your Savior. That's the reality of it this morning. There are those that are religiously saved. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the popular thing is today. The thing that is coming down. There are men who, you bought their books. Have y'all heard the new thing called Chrislam? Y'all heard it? Have you heard it? Tolerance. Combining religions. Jesus was just a good man. Muhammad was just a good man. God will bind it all like a spiritual milkshake. Y'all bought their books. You know how I know? Because you've read The Purpose-Driven Life. There'll be those that are religiously deceived, and there'll be those that are just deceived themselves. They've deceived themselves. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about those that practice and engage the works of the flesh. Listen, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, you read it. You read it yourself. The works of the flesh, those who are deceived. God wants us to live by the fruit of the Spirit. There'll be those who have deceived themselves into believing that they are born again, that they're Christians, but the works of the flesh prove that they're not. For those who are wicked, I'm telling you, this, there are men who are desperately wicked. So number one, don't rush to the church. Number two, what do you do if you miss the rapture? It's pretty simple. Repent. Fall on your face. Call out to God. There'll be no true Christians left. There'll be those that are not converted like you. You'll have no covering. You'll have no safety. There'll be no process of inevitability. A process of inevitability has begun, and that inevitability is that you will either die in the tribulation or you will die confessing Christ. But repent. Turn to God. Give to God. Turn to Him. Cry out to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Thirdly, if you miss the rapture, do not be led by what you feel. Be led by what the Bible has instructed. Because the Holy Spirit is gone. There'll be no peace. There'll be no comforter. There'll be no guide. There'll be no empowerment. There'll be no favor. There'll be no moving of men's hearts. There'll be no more conscience. It'll all be gone. And all you will have is knowledge. And the only knowledge that you can rely on. And then you won't have the Spirit, but you'll have the knowledge of the Word of God. And that's your only hope, is to go by what the Scripture teaches. And you read Matthew 24 and 25. You engulf the book of Revelations. You listen and you watch and you hear and you do and you live by what you know, by this book. You find you a Bible. You grab it. You hold on to it. You do not let it go. It becomes your best friend. It'll give you the series of events that are about ready to take place. Number four, don't take the bait. There'll be a temporary release. What happens in the tribulation? Here's what's going to take place. What's going to happen is that when you enter into the tribulation period, there'll be 3 years of peace. It'll be perceived peace. People will be starving. People will be dying. But in the midst of this 3.5 years, God is going to release a series of judgments on the earth. He's going to bring a judgment on the moon, the sun. He's going to bring judgment on the water. He's going to bring judgment on the earth. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be fires. There'll be all kinds of destruction across the face of the earth. But through that 3-year period, there'll be this 3 years of peace where there will be an Antichrist that's set up who will make peace with Israel. And all of a sudden, the nations will look and assume to be in peace. But all these judgments will be placed on the earth. Matthew 24 and 25 tells us some of the things that'll be happening. All of these judgments will be released. There'll be seal judgments, bold judgments, as Revelation talks about. There'll be the trumpet judgments. A beast will appear. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that he'll be such an influential person that he will be able to bring a strong delusion and deceive many people. I'm telling you, don't take the bait. And probably sometime along the line, you're going to have to pledge your allegiance or die. Or pledge your allegiance and either have to exchange your allegiance for goods and services in order to live and operate. Now see, y'all think this is a fantasy. Like I'm talking out of some fairy tale book. I'm telling you, things like this is coming. But don't take the bait. There'll be a new temple built. 3.5 years into it, This Antichrist will go in and desolate the temple. 144,000 Jews and a great harvest of Jews will come to Christ and realize that he's not the true Messiah and will turn, and he'll turn on them, and they will turn and begin to cry out for God. And the Bible says in Revelation that these 144,000 that have been marked by God, they will not be able to die. That they will go throughout all the land preaching the gospel. They will preach the gospel and they'll try to kill them, Jim, but they can't die. They will not experience death. And they'll continue to preach the gospel and continue to share Jesus, continuing to go through the world in the midst of this destruction and preach the gospel. Two witnesses will come on the scene and be murdered in front of the eyes of all. And they'll lay in the streets for 3 days, and all the world's eyes will be on them. After 3 days, they'll rise up again. Don't take the bait. You'll see it happening. You'll have to make the decision on whether or not you're going to have to choose between life and convenience and Christ and death. Isn't it funny? That's sort of how it was when I came to Christ. On this side of the rapture, I had to choose between what I wanted and salvation in Christ. And here now that you've gone through and you've missed the rapture of the church, now on a greater scale, you're back where you were on this side. And the question is asked again, will I choose for good and services, or will I choose Christ and die? Let me tell you, if you couldn't do it on this side, I'm not too sure you have the stamina to do it on the other side. I'll just be real. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? How do you know that? I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to close with this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Listen. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just read the Word. But there are a lot of men who I study after and read after who are great Bible teachers who believe that there won't be a chance on the other side. Men like A.K. Robinson, the greatest Greek scholar to ever translate the Bible, Martin Lloyd-Jones, Dr. John Phillips, Adrian Rogers, Francis Schaeffer, all these great men of God, George Whitefield, all these guys believe that if men don't live for God on this side, they won't live for God on the next side. And they come to this scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is where they get that scripture and where they believe that there's no hope for some people on the other side. I don't know. There's some part of me that likes to think that there's going to be some mercy there. I hope so. But I don't know. I'm just trying to give you instruction this morning. 2 Thessalonians. Right. I'm not afraid of the devil this morning. Verse 9, 2 Thessalonians. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, Paul was talking about the tribulation period. That is the context of this. Right? Context has got to be right when you interpret Scripture. If it's not, then you're just making stuff up. Verse 10, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Lawless one, Paul said, look, the spirit of the lawless one is at work in this world right now. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says, and Paul, and what he's saying here, that in that day there'll be many that have perished because they refused to receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They pushed it away. Verse 11. For this reason, God will send a strong delusion that they should not believe the lie, and that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What's he saying? Paul's saying that during the time of the tribulation, the Spirit of God is gone, that God himself is going to send a strong delusion to those who would not believe the truth when they had an opportunity to believe the truth, and that delusion will cause them to be deceived and they will reject God. This is the tribulation period. This is why I say, I don't know. I don't know if you can be saved in the tribulation. I know many who believe you can't, and according to that scripture, that's a pretty good argument. But I'm one to believe that there's grace and mercy in every dispensation. All I can tell you is cry out to God if you get there. I'm just saying that they all might be condemned that did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because of God, from the beginning, choose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, listen, this is to you. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or the epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting conciliation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul said, look, now's the time to hold fast to the words that have been spoken in truth. Now's the time to respond to the gospel on which you've been heard preached and been taught. Now's the time to work and do the good works that God has placed on us. Because the day will come when God will send a delusion after the rapture to those who refuse to believe the truth in that day. There goes your theory. Well, if all this is true, I'll just wait till the church is left and then I'll get saved. I'm telling you, you don't want to enter into that world. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You don't want to walk into that. And somebody's listening to this tape. We may never know. But somebody may be listening to this tape right now. It's saying, man, I wish I could go back to April 19th, 2015 and be in the middle of that service and make all things right with God. Because on this side, I'm afraid. And it may be somebody who you gave this tape to. The last thing that you'll have to do if you miss the rapture. One, don't run to the church. Two, repent. Three, be not led by what you feel, only by what you know. Four, don't take the bait. Five, the last thing, probably the most difficult of them all. Scripture says that when God begins to pour his wrath out and judgment upon the world and the nations, men will run to the mountains and cry, Scripture says, and beg God to die. The Bible even says this. Daniel said that this time will be so severe that God has cut the time short for fear of destruction of all men. Wow. The last thing that you'll have to do is you'll have to die for Christ. But if I ended right here, all of us would be a sadness. But all the while, destruction is going on the earth. And we've been taken out. We are with Jesus, Jeremy. And we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. He's given us our crowns. He's given us our rewards. And we're in preparation. There's a marriage supper that takes place where his bride is presented to him and without spot and wrinkle. And there's a marriage supper of the Lamb that we participate in as believers. But then, Scripture says, all the Jewish nation cries out to God. All men have gathered in the valley of the Megiddo, and the nations of the world have turned on God. And as Psalms 2 says, the nations shake their fist at God and laugh at God in his face. David said it like this, God, why do the heathen rage? Why do they shake thy fist at thee? Do they not know who you are? And while all the nations gathered in the valley of Megiddo, at the destruction of the world, they're ready to form armies. Listen how crazy this is. How in the world would men think they could ever gather armies together to battle God? How crazy is that? How crazy is it? How deceived and how wicked do you have to believe that you could gather human armies that could gather themselves in the valley of Megiddo and call and tempt God and tell God to come down from where he is and make war with God? How crazy would you have to be? You smoke too much dope. Israel's crying out. The nations are shaking their fists. Wars against the nations shall begin. And then all of a sudden, I hear the ringing of Psalms 24. As I hear a heavenly choir saying, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart. And I could see just at that moment, Rick, that just when the nation of Israel is ready to be slaughtered, just at that moment, and if you're there and you've survived it and you see it, it'll be something like you've never seen. More than likely you won't. But the sky is going to open. And the eastern sky is going to part. And in the midst of that destruction is going to come Christ and his church to take back what was his, to redeem his nation, to redeem that nation, and to put one foot on the Mount of Olives and one foot on Mount Horeb. And stand and battle with wickedness. And the Bible says it's so fierce that blood shall be up to the remnants of the reins of the horses. And God, with his church, with us, with him, takes back the world and puts it in its right place again. And redeems us. There is a victory that is coming to the church, and we are a part of that victory. Hallelujah! Stand with me this morning. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him. I won't be there. I won't be there. But the question is, will you? Now, I love you. And I'm not preaching mad, and I'm not preaching hard. And I'm not trying to give you some kind of manipulation begging you to come to Christ. When I came to Christ, I wanted to come to Jesus. Nothing could hold me back. It was my day, and nothing was keeping me from Christ. No preacher, nobody. Because when the Spirit of God draws you, thank you for allowing me to preach this morning. You know how hard this is for me this morning. You know how hard it is this morning to put this message together and to know that I have loved ones that if the rapture happened today, they're not going to be a part of it. You know how hard that is? You know the reality of that is? How hard that is to accept? In a day when we live in an age of grace and even a day of hyper grace, when really nobody does anything wrong, when we never hold it, when really in the hour we live in, we don't hold anybody accountable anymore. Do what you want. Most people. You can do what you want and be a leader in the church. Do what you want. Live out any way you want. Claim God. Name it. Claim it. You know how hard it is to preach a message like this? How difficult it is? Put something like this together to know that there are people that I love. The realization of that in my life, that there are people I love who don't know Christ, who will miss out. You know the hell they're going to walk through. You know really what they're walking into. You know what your children that are lost, do you know what they're going to walk into when this thing wraps up? Do you know? We can talk about it, I can preach about it, but there's no real realization. I have an understanding of what's about to happen. And it may be 100 years. We all may be gone. Our part of the resurrection may be that we come out of the grave. I don't know. But if he comes in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, I'm not playing church this morning. Listen, y'all got sin in your life. I believe some people that will be left behind. One of the sin, words for sin in the scripture is the practice of sin, is a continual practice of sin. There's a difference between transgression and the practice of sin. Now, I sin, right? We all sin. I make a mistake. If I mess up and offend Ron or do something that's sinful against my wife, I go to my wife and ask forgiveness, and I go to God and ask forgiveness. That's what we're supposed to do, a lifestyle of repentance, right? As long as the Holy Spirit deals with me, I'm in good shape. I get it right with God the moment it happens. But if I continue to practice in sin and continue to do it my way and not change when the Holy Spirit has put his finger on it and has dealt with me about it, and I continue to refuse to do it, I don't know. If you've ever been converted in the first place. The last thing that's mentioned in Revelation is this, and I want to send you out with this morning. The last thing, you want to say what the purpose of the church is? The last words that are mentioned in Revelation are the words that have been given to the church. And it's the proclamation of who we are. And it says this, let the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And the cry of the church in her womb, and her voice should always have the cry, even so come now, Lord Jesus. Even so now come. Father, bless your people as we're dismissed today. I believe that as people leave here, the Holy Spirit's going to deal with them about their spiritual conditions. There'll be people walking to their home, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will come upon their loved ones and come around their family. They will lead them to Christ and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May you seal what you've done by the Holy Spirit here this morning. And may we leave with the confidence of knowing that, Lord, if you come before lunchtime today, we that are in this room are ready. We're ready for the return of the Lord. And we all can say, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God some praise.